John Marvin Jr. is currently not competent to stand trial. The judge, who is expected to preside over Marvin's murder trial, made that determination after a hearing yesterday. The 46-year-old Marvin is accused of shooting Hoonah police officers Tony Wallace and Matt Tokuoka in August of 2010. The incident allegedly included Marvin holding officers at bay and refusing to surrender until a day after the shooting. Dr. David Spurbeck of North Star Behavioral Hospital tried to interview and evaluate Marvin while he was at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute in Anchorage, but Spurbeck found that Marvin was evasive, uncooperative, hostile, controlling, disorganized, and delusional.
It was difficult to follow what he was saying. He kept going back and forth in time from childhood to the present time. He wouldn't talk about the shootings. He became increasingly hostile and irrelevant. To what extent this was intentional and motivated to delay the inevitable versus evidence of a mental disease and defect is very difficult to determine.
Two other psychologists already testified on their findings back in September. One thought Marvin was competent, the other did not. Spurbeck believes that Marvin understands the court process and the nature of the charges against him, but his unwillingness or inability to communicate effectively make it unlikely that Marvin could help his attorney in his defense. And that was the key factor for Superior Court Judge David George before ruling that Marvin is currently incompetent.
Mr. Marvin can't effectively relay his thoughts and communicate with counsel. Dr. Spurbeck also offers that if needed to testify, Mr. Marvin would not be able to testify, at least at this time, around relevant matters or in a cohesive fashion, or in a cohesive manner.
Yesterday's ruling means that this month's jury trial has been postponed indefinitely. Judge George committed Marvin to the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. Yet to be determined is whether his stay there will include competency restoration treatment. Dr. Spurbeck believed that Marvin's competency was restorable, possibly with involuntary administration of psychotropic drugs, but Spurbeck acknowledged that part of his findings were inferred by observations of Marvin with his attorney or others at API rather than any direct interview with Marvin, which he refused. During yesterday's court proceedings, Marvin did not say anything, except twice briefly when he interrupted Spurbeck's testimony.
He insists that he is culpable and competent, and this is why he refuses to participate in any competency or culpability evaluations.
I object.
Mr. Marvin, you have an attorney and you have an assistant from the public defender. If you have concerns about the testimony, you should tell the gentleman sitting next to you and he will take the appropriate measures.
I object.
The next hearing in the case is in early April. As we reported over the weekend, an investigating officer has recommended dropping the charges against the sole survivor of a 2010 Coast Guard helicopter crash that killed three crewmen from Air Station Sitka. The Associated Press obtained a copy of Captain Andrew Norris's report. Lieutenant Lance Leone was charged with failing to navigate around safety hazards and with negligently causing the deaths of two of the crewmen aboard the H-60 Jayhawk helicopter. Norris did not say Leone was blameless in the flight in the report, but that the military cannot clearly draw links between any errors in navigation and the crash. Norris's recommendation that the charges be dropped was received as good news by Leone's family, but as Ed Ronco reports, the case could still proceed to a full court-martial.
In December, the Coast Guard held an Article 32 hearing. It's like a grand jury proceeding in civilian court where evidence is laid out against a defendant. Captain Andrew Norris presided over the hearing. He's called the investigating officer in military parlance. And according to the report obtained by AP and confirmed by John Smith, Leone's private attorney, Norris is recommending the charges be dropped.
I got the text from John, Lance's lawyer.
That's Leone's mother, Heather Rice, who says she and her son were having lunch when they heard about Norris's recommendation.
I heard Lance say dropped, and my shoulders dropped. It was like, wow, I'm all goosebumps right now. Look at that.
Rice describes the news as a black cloud being lifted.
We couldn't believe it. We looked at each other and I said, really? But we still have to go on from this. The admiral has not made the decision. So this hasn't ended yet. So I keep telling people, keep the gales in your sails, because this isn't over yet.
Leone himself is represented by private and military attorneys who have advised him not to speak with the media. Smith, his private attorney, declined to comment when contacted Monday afternoon at his home near Washington, D.C. Coast Guard spokeswoman Lieutenant Veronica Colbath says Norris's recommendation is one more piece of information in the grand scheme of the crash investigation. It will be reviewed by Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, who commands the Coast Guard in Alaska. He's referred to in this case as the convening authority.
The convening authority will review the investigating officer's report and recommendations and decide how to proceed with the case.
Ostebo can follow the recommendations by dropping the charges, or he can send the case on to a full court-martial. He can also decide to handle the matter internally. Colbath says Norris's report is, quote, not releasable while proceedings are underway. Besides being given to Ostebo, the report was shared with attorneys in the case, and Colbath says there's no timeline for Ostebo to make his decision.
The story's not over yet. I mean, it's not over.
That's Lieutenant Colonel John Farr, retired from the Army's Judge Advocate General Corps, and now an attorney in private practice in Anchorage. He's not directly involved in the case, but has extensive experience in military law. Farr says the Leone family has every right to be happy with the recommendation from the Article 32 hearing, but should also know that convening authorities, like Ostebo in this case, are notoriously independent-minded.
They should be mindful of that. However, the Article 32 officer is not likely to look at it any different than a military jury would if they actually end up in front of a military jury. So there should be a certain amount of comfort in that fact. But any positive news like this is something that should be welcome.
Farr has said in previous interviews that acquittals in cases such as this are common. It's a thought he reiterated in light of Norris's recommendation. Farr says the way he interpreted Norris's recommendation suggests to him that Norris might have found probable cause to charge Leone, but based on Leone's service record, doesn't think that he should face a full court-martial. Farr believes a jury would feel similarly.
In other words, if it's a good service member that's been diligent and seems deserving because they've served their country and served the military and had a good career, then judges and juries, military judges and juries, are very reluctant to just completely end that because of a mistake.
Farr says his personal opinion is that the charges have already done career-ending damage. But Leone's mother, Heather Rice, says her son still loves the Coast Guard and wants not only to be cleared of the charges against him, but also to continue his career. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The USS Anchorage will be commissioned in Alaska's largest city. Alaska's congressional delegation announced yesterday that the Navy's San Antonio-class amphibious transport dock ship will be commissioned in its namesake city next September or October. Ray Mabus, the Secretary of the Navy, called each member of Alaska's delegation to deliver the news yesterday.